This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, Now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Let's talk tech on a Tuesday with Nelson Rago of Cool Blind Tech. Nelson is the founder of Cool Blind Tech and joins us from Edmonton, Alberta. Hey, good morning, Nelson.
Hey, good morning, Dave.
So, Nelson, since we spoke last week, we talked about your big hockey debut out there on the rinks of Edmonton, and you've since become a national celebrity, even more so than your national celebrity status from this show.
Yeah, I was a bit surprised that it went national. So I thought it was just going to be a local thing. And then someone told me, like, hey, we're seeing your stuff across the country. So I was like, okay, I guess I'll have a little 15 minutes of fame. And
hey, you know, to your credit, you've been leaning into it. You've been sharing the articles on Facebook. No one would accuse you of not looking in the mirror a little bit.
Oh, you know, actually, the result of it is that people from other countries are actually starting to do it. So I heard that someone from the UK, actually, I think two people now have done it in the UK, a female and a male have done it. So it seems to be inspiring some people out there. So that's kind of cool that other people are seeing that and sort of, you know, making their own sort of history in their regions. So
yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
Right on. I mean, it really goes to show that sometimes just a drop or a trickle of change can cause a lot of bigger results. So that's really well done, Nelson. Really, really cool to see. All right, let's jump into it. A postgraduate student at Loughborough School of Design and Creative Arts in the UK has created Buzz, an inclusive product design for instrumental ensemble practice for blind and partially sighted musicians. So, Nelson, how does Buzz work?
It basically uses artificial intelligence and image recognition technology, and it converts that technology to the end user, which has doesn't say what type of watch, but they'll have a watch on the wrist, and then it'll vibrate according to the signals that it's sending. So, for example, right now it has like three things that it can do. One thing it'll show if someone's like standing up or sitting down. It'll show if the person's fatigued or not, and then it'll show if the person's about to start or stop what they were doing.
How does that relate to music?
So when they're doing the ensemble, it'll register back to the user on how they're playing. So it'll tell like if you know when they're not doing something or they are doing something. I haven't seen the demos of it anywhere. But that was the description that was given by the article. So, and then I think that it's using the like a 3D camera, and then that camera sending a signal to their watch. And then I'm not sure how the vibrations work 100%. But right now it just has three modes that enables the musician to sort of interact with the other musicians.
Very cool. What was the inspiration behind the product?
In this case, the student volunteered to a local cinema for the blind and partially sighted, and they also live by near a business where they have people that are partially sighted, and so she was able to interact with them and get feedback from them as far as how to utilize that technology into what a musician does.
Any word on when this may become commercially available?
Right now they have it. She's trying to launch for the prototype. She's at the beginning stages of actually putting the first prototype together. So there's no estimated time as far as when it's going to be released, but they're going through the testing procedures as far as just the finish and design of what the product is going to finally look like.
Nelson, let's jump over to the world of prosthetics, because a British engineer named Steve Verzi became the first person in the world to receive an eyeball prosthetic printed with 3D technology. So, Nelson, as we look forward, what's the potential for this new prosthetic as a treatment?
Well, this because it was in the UK, they have numbers around 60,000 people. So they think that this could help up to 60,000 people in the UK in that region. There's no numbers yet for the US or Canada because it's such a new thing that they've launched. So this seems to be like the first of its kind in the world. So hopefully something like that will get out here because it seems to be pretty cool what they're able to do with it.
Nelson, with apologies to people eating their breakfast right now, what's the current methods of prosthetic eye implants?
Okay. So basically they'll use sort of a mold that they'll insert into, I think it's called the basin of the one eye. And then there's a surgical procedure that I guess you have to do before that. And then there's repeated visits back and forth because they want to mimic the other eyes. So they're basically, it's a little bit of artistry, I guess, at the same time as technical. And then they say it takes about up to five months. And then recently, because, you know, the way things are going, it's taken even longer than 5 months for this whole procedure. The old method, or the current method, that is.
And how do they feel that the 3D printed prosthetic may improve over the previous methods?
Well, first of all, they got it down to 3 weeks for like beginning to start, and the way they do it is that they'll get the digital maps after they scan the eye, and they'll scan the basin as well, and then they send those maps out to Germany, and there that's when they do the 3D printing, and that takes about I think they mentioned 2 hours of actually 3D printing the eyeball, and then that gets sent back, and then that gets finalized with the doctors, and it ends up being like a pretty good match, and it seems to be more accurate than the current methods of matching the other eyeball.
Yeah, it's neat to see all the different technologies that are coming out now. I think you and I have talked about the diamond eye retinal implant before in this segment. Now we're seeing the possibility of a totally prosthetic eyeball. It's fascinating to see the different angles that some of these researchers and engineers are taking, and a lot of progress being made very, very quickly. I mean, for a long time, you had to have a wire going into the prosthetic eye coming through like the viscous lipids in your eyes, which is definitely something that I think a lot of people wouldn't find particularly comfortable. Hey, Nelson, let's jump over to your tech tip. You like to end our segment with this, and this week you want to fill us in a bit on Google adding 17 more languages to their Look to Speak accessibility app.
Yeah, so this is pretty cool. So those who don't know what Look to Speak is, so it's basically an app that's used, well, in this case, it's used for Android phones, and it allows someone to control their phones with their eyes by looking at predetermined phrases and then pre-written phrases. And then you can just, sort of control your phone. But right now, before this update, it was only, I believe it was just in English, because these updates that they just released are pretty much the normal languages that you would get outside of English. So for example, they got Spanish, from Spain and Latin America. They got French, German, Portuguese, Urdu, Indonesian, Japanese. So it's pretty much the mainstream languages outside of English that are available. So those who can utilize that, that don't have English as their first language, can now get this app for free. So, and it's an app designed by Google. So it's, you don't have to worry too much about it, not working or being compatible with your Android phone.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Hey, Nelson, thank you for this. Have a great day and best of luck getting back in Nets.
Oh, appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.